Welcome back to another episode of the Profitable Audience Podcast. Today we're going to talk about UGC.
Can I mention a tidbit first?
Sure.
Before we go all in?
Yeah.
So we're recording this live right now with our students from both Profitable Online Store and Profitable Audience. We have recorded one, well, you and I have recorded one podcast live at FinCon with Larry, but this is the first time we've recorded live with a studio audience, let's just say.
Sure. Actually, you know that one with Larry? Did we publish that one?
Yes, but I had to edit the heck out of that. I wish the AI tool would have been available back then because the background noise was so loud.
Yeah. Yeah. We're not used to doing these live. And I guess the people listening already got a taste of what it's like before we hit the record button.
That's right. So today we're going to talk about user-generated content, which we felt was an appropriate topic for both people who are selling physical products online and also people who are selling maybe digital products, courses, memberships. It kind of branches or covers the whole spectrum of online business models.
Here's the thing that I've discovered over the years, and I think this is like the most shocking part. Well, let's just start with this. A lot of the user-generated content that you see from big brands online, like Dr. Squatch, Warby Parker, and whatnot, they're not real testimonials.
Wait, what? I didn't know that.
Are you being serious?
No, I'm being serious. I mean—
Oh, you are?
Yeah, I'm being serious.
They're hired actors.
Do they put that on the screen? Because I've seen some where it's like, this is not really a person who's taking this crazy pill. It's an actor.
Especially on like the Facebook ads that you see. Like, have you ever wondered why they just happen to be attractive? Very eloquent?
No, because everybody I know is attractive, Steve. That's I've never wondered that.
Like, they're still filming it with their phone, so it looks like it's you know, candid. But there's no way that you can find someone attractive, eloquent, and happens to use the product and willing to write a testimonial.
Okay. I mean, that makes sense. I'm utterly disappointed. We can't go on. Stop recording. We're done.
So the way these companies do it is there's agencies now where you can just hire someone to do, like, you give them the product, they film it, and then you use it in the ad. And some ad agencies now have that in-house. And you'll notice a lot of the same people. Like, if you look carefully,
it's the same guy wearing glasses and using Dr. Squatch. So this is what I figured. They just didn't use the ugly people. Like, maybe they got 1,000 submissions and they used 3 of like the people that were probably already influencers and were good at the job.
Okay. I'll just say something really simple. So we solicit UGC as part of our autoresponder sequence. Mm-hmm. We haven't done video, but we just had people snap a photo.
Mm-hmm.
And the photos, some of them are horrific.
Yes.
Like, not even. Yeah.
I'll have you know, I took like 120 photos of me with the book before I found one that I thought was good enough, where my nails matched perfectly with the color of your font and, you know, the lighting was just, you know. But So let's talk about your book, right? So you have been submitting UGC this week to promote your book sales. Talk about what are you doing to incentivize people? Are you sharing everything that people post, or are some people getting left out?
I'm sharing most. So I have it scheduled out. I am sharing everyone's post regardless, actually. It's just for Bumblebee, we don't. For this book, yeah, absolutely. Anyone who's posting anything on it, I'm sharing it out on social. And one of the things I'm doing right now, and Leong was number 2, actually, to redeem the shirt. So if you go out into a brick and mortar store and you see the book in the wild and you buy it, just snap a photo with you in the bookstore and I'm sending you one of these Family First t-shirts.
Yes, which I know people listening cannot see, but it is an amazing
shirt. It actually looks good.
It does look good.
I'm proud to wear this. Like, usually I don't like wearing shirts with things on it, but I think this actually looks pretty good.
No, I think that you and I talked about the color combo. I think it worked out nice on that one. It's good.
Yeah. Of course, Leong is going to get yellow, though.
Okay. So you incentivize people to go to the bookstore and snap a photo to get a shirt. What about the people that just snapped the photo when it arrived? Are those people, well, you incentivize them by sending a lot of people a free book in a fancy package and stuff like that.
Those were just the influencers who helped me promote the book.
Right.
Yeah. So for those people, actually, you know what? Maybe I'll just post some pictures in the show notes here. But what I did is I had custom boxes created, and I had these little pins that said Family First on it. And then we embroidered everyone a custom handkerchief with their initials on it. And we put it in a nice box with tissue paper and we shipped those out. And the reason why we did it was because if you just get a book like in the mail in a box, like this is what, here's what's funny. Noah Kagan, who's one person who helped me promote the book. When he got the book, he texted him and he was like, man, that was some amazing packaging. Usually I hate receiving books and I just chuck them. Mm-hmm. But yours, I actually opened the box and it was so well done that he posted about it.
So and it's interesting because I get a lot of unsolicited books, not yours, other people, of course. And they usually come in a padded mailer, you know, and you just open it up and there's the book and like a one page, you know, small font type written, you know, a promo about someone that I don't care about. So I did think your packaging was great. I did. In fact, I wanted to figure out a way to take a photo of me like drying my tears with my handkerchief while I read the book, but there wasn't enough time yesterday. It was a busy afternoon. So, but yeah, I thought your packaging was great. So that's another way to incentivize people, especially if you have a physical product that you're selling. Like I think about, I don't know everybody in your other course, but like, obviously we've gotten a lot of jerky from Christina, and you and I have both talked about the jerky a ton because it's a really good product. And so, you know, she could be sending out samples of jerky to influencers and, you know, you can't force people to post for you if you do that, but it's, you know, if it's a good product, people will post it. Just like Noah was saying, like the packaging was so cool, he wanted to post about it.
Actually, I mean, since we're on the subject, Christina, I mean, I have it right here and I know people listening can't see this, but this is very well done.
Oh, yes.
All the different flavors and with like really high res photos. I will say that the box initiative that I did for the UGC, it was not cheap. Mm-hmm. I think each box was like almost $7.
Yeah.
And then the stuff inside, I mean, this is all our stuff in the store. So I guess
the handkerchiefs, seriously, like 15 cents, guys. Come on.
Well, somebody had to embroider it. That's too, right. Tony.
Poor Jen. is anyone compensating Jen?
Yeah. And so it's worked. Almost everyone I've sent a box to has posted something to their audience tagging me.
Right. So one of the things about the box, and then we can move on because I'm sure people are like, we can't hear about this box any longer, is that it kind of had the Apple effect. You know, when Apple, you don't know because you're not an Apple user, but when you order a pair of AirPods or a MacBook or an iPad, it comes in this box that doesn't open quickly. I don't know if you know this, they do this on purpose. So when you open a box with the AirPods in it, the box slowly like detaches from the base. Like when you pull it up, it's like the measurements, there's like almost like an air seal. I don't know, I'm totally spitballing here. But so when you pull it open, you can't just pull the top off the box. It opens very slowly. Same with the boxes that your iPad and your MacBook laptops come in. And they do that as part of like the anticipatory process of buying an Apple product. So the unpackaging of an Apple product is part of the experience. And I thought your book box was very similar. Like there was excitement. Like when I get a book in an envelope, it's like, where are the scissors? Like now I'm using a kitchen knife. Now I realize that the kids put the kitchen knife back dirty. You know, I'm already irritated by the time I open the book. And so I thought the user experience was really good, which will probably worth the investment of spending the $7 a box because you got good results for people, you know, posting about it on social media.
Oh, you know, what's unfortunate about all this is it's not really measurable.
Right.
But I will say that sales since the opening day, which was yesterday, have ballooned. And I think it's because there's all this press, podcasts, plus all these shares all happening all at once, which really just amplifies everything, I think.
Which, you know, it's not measurable, but I will say, you know, if someone posts and they tag you, you can use that content other places, right? So I've been to websites where I see like the very bottom block of the site is like 9 photos or 12 photos, and it's all of people with the product. And these are clearly not paid actors because the photos are good, not great, which is probably a giveaway of whether these people have been paid or not. And so I think that's a good, like, it's that whole social proof, right? If you can show regular people in the wild using the product, holding the product, being excited about getting it. We do that for the curriculum company that I do email for. We ask for people to post pictures of them with the curriculum or their kids with the curriculum. Not everyone wants to post with their kids, which we understand. But, you know, that's a really helpful tool for us because it shows families using the products in their home, which then, you know, it's like, why do we buy stuff on Amazon? We read the reviews because other people that we don't know say it's good. So other people we don't know on social media are talking about stuff. And then we reshare all that content on the brand page, and as well as we use it in email sometimes, especially if a lot of people will post their picture using the product with a review. And that's probably the next thing we can talk about is using that user generated content in the form of reviews or testimonials in other marketing channels.
Yeah, actually, before we get to that, I'm just very curious. When you guys solicit UGC for that mm-hmm. store, what percentage of the photos that you get are any good? Just curious.
I don't see all of them because I don't do the social media. They're not, most of them are okay because they're usually pictures at a table with a because it's curriculum.
Okay.
So they're usually not bad photos. And I think because we're asking, we ask people to post it directly on social media and tag the brand. Mm-hmm. And I think there's a difference between send us your photo, right, where they're just sending it directly to you versus post it on social media. I think people are more cognizant of photo quality when they post in general mm-hmm. versus, you know, like you've asked me like, hey, send me a picture of that. I will send you the worst picture because if you just want to see what something looks like I don't care about the picture quality. But if you said post something on social media, last night I took 100 photos, right? So I was like, I don't like my eyes wonky in that one or whatever. This, you can see the pile of leaves in my backyard, take another one. So I think that's a way to maybe weed out some of the less quality stuff.
A lot of our customers are over the age of 55.
Yeah, that's tough.
So they don't have social.
But for the wedding okay. industry, for you, those yeah. photos are all professional.
They are if they remember to take them. And we yeah. do have a good collection, but I would say percentage wise, the amount of usable ones that I would actually put on the website
yeah.
or use, less than half.
Yeah. Probably. But that's half that you didn't have is sort of how I Correct. Think you think yeah. about it. And the other thing is that to me, like just letting people see that other people have purchased it is very compelling. Because have you ever been to a website and you're like, nobody uses it? Like I actually saw a dress on Facebook, an ad for a dress, and it was really kind of fun looking. And I went to the website, and as I'm on the website, there were no pictures of anybody in the, you know, how most websites today have people, even Amazon, like uploading pictures of them in the clothing. There yeah. was nothing. And I just was like, I don't know who this website is. I have no familiarity with them. I'm not buying anything because I don't trust that I'll actually get the product because there was zero. Meanwhile, but I will trust a site who has pictures of people I don't know. You know, it's just how the way the mind works. So it's not as if, you know, having UGC actually legitimizes you, but it does to the customer.
So that is what is called negative social proof. If you go on a website and you don't see any testimonials or anything like that, it will actually decrease conversions. So yeah. especially for clothing, actually, I think clothing is one of the most egregious ones, right?
Yeah, I think because it's clothing is such a hard thing to buy online if you don't know the brand, because you're like, is it going to be that whole what I ordered, what I got, and it's like, you know, a picture of something. And have you seen those on Instagram and TikTok? Yeah. So that's, I think, what people have the fear of getting, you know, a toddler bathing suit when you ordered, you yeah. know, a size 8.
So I guess the question is, how do you get this user generated content? And I am actually curious what you guys use. I'm actually even considering paying for an option now, which, you know, I wrote my own review tool and mm-hmm. and I could get it to solicit photos. But mm-hmm. the reason I'm thinking about paying now is because I think the next gen is going to be about video reviews. Mm-hmm. And that's harder to do by yourself because you need a place to store all that stuff. It needs to be served quickly and that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. So are you guys doing video reviews for your...
We don't. So we work with influencers for video. In fact, someone just posted something on YouTube yesterday I saw in one of the project management boards. But that's, we only solicit influencers for video at this point because we don't trust the consumer.
So are those videos that you're getting, are they like actors?
No, there are people that they're actually like just homeschool bloggers that use the curriculum, but bloggers. They already are in the space creating content. So they have a level of experience than someone like one of your hanky buyers would probably have.
Are they sharing their platforms also, or are you paying for their content?
They're sharing. They're getting free curriculum. That's all they're getting.
Oh, okay. Well, that's a great deal then.
Yes, it is a great deal. If you can start with that deal, I highly recommend that route. It's not possible everywhere. The other thing we do for our consumer side, so the people that just land on the site, whether through search, social, and make a purchase, in the post-purchase flow, you get an email, I think maybe 30 days down the road, because it is a curriculum. It's not like you open it up and immediately have full, you know, use of the product. Is we say, hey, every month we look at everything that was posted on social media and we pick one winner. The winner gets $50 gift card to the store. Homeschoolers are notoriously cheap. $50 is a lot of money, goes a long way for curriculum. And so we have enough content coming in just through that method that allows social to post throughout the month.
Yeah. You know what I'm finding just really powerful today? Is, you know, the old school reviews that you used to get from like Yotpo and whatnot. It's just like text, the name, the text, and the stars. Mm-hmm. What I'm finding a lot more effective now is just a face. Like mm-hmm. if there's just some sort of photo there that goes along with it of someone's face, it doesn't have to even be the best photo. That's a lot more meaningful to me than like the old school way of, you know, listing reviews. I was on the BlendJet website the other day.
Okay. Is that a blender?
If you scroll down, there's just faces and faces, like rows and rows of it. And just the fact that you're seeing all those faces really actually makes you want to get one. And they're intermixed with those are video reviews as well. Mm-hmm.
So I would say if you can solicit a video review, that's the top shelf option. Now, the reality is most people can't make a good video.
But you can bribe them to.
You can. Yeah. You have to tell them, and Ezra has actually, he's probably still floating around somewhere. He has a great tutorial. Ezra Firestone has a great tutorial on how to solicit video reviews. And they literally send people like a one sheet and it's like, hold the phone this way, do that, stand in front of a window. Like they literally spell out if you make a lot of video, what would seem to be very normal and like, kind of like, of course you do that. But for most people, they won't even think that way. And so he does a good job of spelling it out for potential video makers for him, for Boom. Mm-hmm. And he seems like he has a decent amount of UGC on there that doesn't look highly professional. Looks good, doesn't look super professional.
Yeah, I think the way that, like, the best practice for soliciting those types of reviews is to actually get the text-based review first.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And then among those people, you go, hey, would you like a $20 gift card if you just pick up your phone and leave a review for that?
Yeah.
Or you can incentivize just for even a photo, a smaller incentive. So
I would say if you are in like the service business or membership site, you run a course like we do, testimonials are like your bread and butter of selling more courses or signing people up for memberships because people are hesitant unless they know that the program works. And so if you can get reviews, especially video reviews for a course or a membership, that is, even if you can get three, that's huge. And I would go above and beyond to get those. I would offer people like a free 30-minute coaching call, you know, just to get some going. I would really offer a lot to incentivize people to do it.
Here's what we do in both of our classes. And it's funny since we're broadcasting live to our class right now. and I know there's a lot of new students in these in our classes right now. If you leave a testimonial, we have a point system in this class where if you leave a testimonial, you get points. And those points can go towards prizes like a one-on-one consult or a site critique or a niche critique and that sort of thing. And I was actually just looking the other day. I think in like the last year, I've gotten 27 of them. Okay. I haven't used them per se, but you get less points if you leave a text review, and you get mm-hmm. more if you leave a video one. And early on when I was looking for these reviews, like I have plenty of now, but back in the day, like the video ones are fantastic.
Yeah. They're very powerful to use in promotion. And that's once you get, especially if you get a review, you definitely want to leverage that everywhere that you can, whether it's on social media, in email, on your website itself, you know, just sitting on a page, on your homepage. It just depends on what your setup is. I think that the more you can leverage those reviews, one of my favorite emails to send, especially during a sale, is a picture of, if the person has submitted the photo, then I use that photo. But if not, I take a photo of the product and I overlay the review. So the product isn't like front and center, the review is, and the product's in the background. And I always make the 5 stars really big. So it's like, obviously 5 stars. And I use a subject line that's something like, yeah, don't believe us. Here's what's, you know, basically don't believe what we have to say. Here's what everyone else is saying about us. So it's kind of like, we know we're great, but other people think we're great too. So using that, don't take our word for it, verbiage. And those emails are very powerful. They do very well with especially people who have not purchased, but have like been on the site for a while, like coming back and they're open. You know, you can track all that. So it's like, these people are opening emails, they're engaging, they're clicking over, but they just haven't made a purchase. Sometimes that review is enough to push them over the edge to make that decision.
Yeah, actually, I'm looking at my Facebook ads. Some of my best converting ads are those with just a testimonial at the top.
Yeah.
All this. Here's something that I'm going to do once this whole book launch is over with, is I have all these product reviews in a database, like thousands of them. Mm-hmm. I was going to just feed them into AI and
generate people.
Well, no, I was actually going to have it pick out like the best ones.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure how to phrase the prompts, but also there's ways that you can do it where you just feed everything in and you say, hey, what are the negatives and what are the positives that you about your company that you can extract out of this feedback that you've gotten?
Mm-hmm.
And then you can use that as benefits text for some of your landing pages or, you know, value props.
I like it. It's a good idea. So would you have something else?
Well, no, I was going to just talk about how to get UGC. I mean, that's the biggest hurdle. At least it was for me. I think you have to
give stuff away. That's really...
Well,
some people will do it naturally because they're just so excited about your company. But I think you have to give people an incentive to do it, whether it's a free t-shirt or product, gift card. Product. I like product and gift card only because it doesn't cost you as much as the perceived value is way higher than what you're actually paying. And so you might give away a $50 gift card that could cost, maybe that costs you $20, maybe even less than that. So that's my favorite way to do it.
I actually don't think you need to necessarily incentivize regular reviews.
Mm-hmm.
At least we don't.
Right. No, you don't. Yet. Yeah.
But I think if you get a positive review, then you can, like, to get someone to take a photo or a video, mm-hmm. a video especially, is a much bigger ask.
Yeah.
I think the biggest hurdle for me early on was I didn't really have an automated flow to do all this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But once it's automated, you kind of forget about it. And then later when you check, all of a sudden you have all these reviews.
Yeah.
What do you guys use for your store? Just curious.
It's just a Shopify app. I couldn't tell you which one.
Okay.
So standard review app, but they go into a queue. They don't get published immediately.
Ah.
Because we sell curriculum, we fix all the typos.
Oh, is that right? On the review itself?
Now, we don't change the language of the review, but if there is a, you know, missing period or a misspelled word, we always, that's not my call. That's the owner's call, but that's been her policy, which, you know, makes sense for it being curriculum.
Well, here's the beauty of running your own store, in case anyone out there is listening, whether they're debating between Amazon and running their own store, you have full control yes. over the reviews on your store and you can incentivize the crap out of somebody.
Yeah.
Right. Like Amazon makes it so that you can't incentivize any reviews. You can't do any tit for tat on Amazon,
mm-hmm.
but on your store, it's fair game. And the best part is that you don't even have to publish the bad ones.
Well, I was just going to say that's the other benefit is if you get a bad review on Amazon, especially if it's like completely unrelated to, you know, I've had that a couple times where it was like, you didn't even buy my product. You know, you have to fight with Amazon to get it taken down. Whereas with your own store, you can do whatever you want. You don't have to publish. I like publishing the ones that are well written and don't actually, because we get the, and I don't know, you probably have this happen too. Probably the audience does as well. you'll get a 2-star review and they say everything good. And it's like, did you not understand that 5 is the best and 1? Like, to me, it's like an obvious, like 5 stars is the best, 1 star is the worst. And people will write like a 2-star review and just be glowing the whole time, not say one negative thing. And you're thinking, where did the 2 stars come in that for you? You know, did you just not understand that we're going highest to lowest here or what?
I do have to say this, though. You have to be careful because if you want like your stars to show up in the Google search results, so just anyone listening out there, like the reviews that you get can be used to create these little rich snippets in the search results. So you can have stars next to your product and it mm-hmm. improves clickability in the search results. You got to be careful because let's say you eliminate all like the 1 or 2-star reviews and let's say you predominantly have 5. Google's going to think that there's manipulation involved right. because every product has to have like some sort of distribution. Like there's no way a product has all 5 stars if you have right. like 100 reviews, for example. Yeah. So I always actually publish the ones that are truthful. Mm-hmm. We actually get a lot of 1-star reviews where they say, hey, I never got my product.
Yeah. See, that's the stuff you don't have to publish.
Right. I delete those immediately. But if someone says like this handkerchief box was a little bit too big for the hanky that I ordered.
Yeah.
And whatnot, I'll keep that one.
Well, some of the negative reviews are good because they hone in on a detail and it's just their personal preference. And there's not really anything wrong with the product. It's just they didn't like something. And so those I actually think are very valuable to someone reading the reviews.
And here's the other thing that you can list the reviews that are actually the most helpful because a lot of times your product description doesn't cover some of these really accurate things. And you're not going to add what they wrote to your description because it's just way too specific for the broader audience.
Yeah.
But people will look at the ones at the top, especially. And you can actually use these positive reviews to help you sell product by providing more information.
See, the other thing is it doesn't necessarily have to be a review. So obviously if you sell physical product, you want reviews. And if you sell, I mean, really reviews are great, testimonials, but you can go as far as, I mean, one of the things that I lived off of in my early blogging days was taking comments and messages and turning them into content or promotional stuff. So if someone were to leave a comment on the blog or a comment on the Facebook page, if it was relevant, and this is more likely in the content space, but if you have content related to your product and someone leaves a comment, I would use those to trigger ideas for writing more content about your products or services. That's how I got almost all my ideas in the beginning was just, oh, this person asked a question on Facebook. This person put a comment on, Instagram wasn't around right away, Twitter. And then I would just turn that into content. And I would always say like, hey, and we talked about this a couple weeks ago in Profitable Audience, like taking those user questions and creating content. Same thing with a product. I mean, I hate to keep using beef jerky, but like that's the one I'm most familiar with right now. But you could put a whole post on like why I don't know what soft's not the right word, but why soft beef jerky is better, right? And you could write all the factual information and then fill that in with like comments that people have made on social media, the comments people have left on the website, anything like that, and just use that to fill in. And it gives you a much more robust piece of content.
There's this stat that I read, I think it was on Statista or some other social media site, where if someone just sees a review, they're like 51% more likely to make that purchase. But oftentimes people don't scroll all the way down, right, mm-hmm. to see the actual reviews. So one thing that I have on my queue to implement for my store is to have a little slide up. You know how I already had those slide ups for mm-hmm. when someone actually made a purchase?
Yeah.
But I was going to do a different slide up on a product page where it slides up a review.
Okay.
Like it has the person's face, 5 stars, and then what they actually wrote about it.
Yeah.
So that someone who's actually on that product page actually sees that review.
Yeah.
And hopefully that'll push them over the edge. What I've just come to learn, and this is me too, and you probably too, Tony, we're all just a bunch of lemmings.
Yes.
Right?
Like, absolutely.
I'm not going to buy something unless I know someone else has bought it.
Yeah.
And it works even better if it's someone that kind of looks like me. So yes. I'll give you an example. I was shopping for shirts because Seller Summit's coming around.
Yeah, here. You got to get your 2 new shirts for Seller Summit.
Yeah, exactly. My 2 annual
yeah, new 2 shirts. Annual shirt purchases.
And then I was on this shirt site and then an Asian dude popped up.
You were like, buy.
Yes. I'm not even joking.
Yeah.
And I don't know how they knew that.
Maybe it was just coincidence. Purpose. It could have been. Well, you know, yeah, I don't know. It's all those math videos that you watch. They were tracking you.
So I don't know if that technology exists, but if somehow you can have demographic information and then pop up the right review for someone who looks like you with your same demographic, that sounds really powerful to me.
Well, that's the thing to think about when you're, you know, if you have a lot of reviews or if you are able to solicit a lot of UGC, think about who your target market is. Like for Ezra with Boom, he's not going to use a 20-year-old making a video about how great that makeup is because that makeup is literally made for people over 50. So watching a 20-year-old do makeup tutorial with that makeup, it's like, well, she's going to look good in like the dollar store makeup. It doesn't matter. Like we need makeup for people with deep crevices in their face, right? So I say that as some, I can say that because I'm old, but no insult to our older audience here. But right, I think random. That's-
Is Ezra's makeup for you?
It is.
It is, right? Are you of the age?
I am of the age. I should start shopping there. But it's like when you're scrolling on Instagram or Facebook or anything and you see someone that you relate to, you're much more likely to engage with that product. I think about the perfect example is like Marie Forleo with B School. She solicits a ton of testimonials. And this is another thing. If you get to be a big enough brand or a sought after brand like Marie, people will give testimonials for the chance of Marie mentioning you and featuring you, right? Like at some point, just like it's kind of like if you knew the Warriors showed off, you know, people wearing like Warriors gear, right, on their Instagram, you would totally be posting stuff and tagging them, right? Like you wouldn't need any incentive at all because you're like, I want the Warriors to talk about me, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
So if you can become that brand that is like has that sort of raving fans or people that are really like looking up to you, like Marie, she's got a lot of people look up to her. She solicits reviews, but there's no incentive to do it. And so I think that's one of the reasons why her audience, like people connect with her is because they're like, wait, I look like that person. I want to do what this person is doing. This person, you know, she just sent out an email probably last week with like testimonials, which is funny that we're talking about this today. And it was like, so-and-so took B School and had her email list and made her first course sale, you know, last week. Right. And there was like a picture of this lady. And it's like, that's really powerful. If you have an idea and you haven't been able to get it to market, right? If you have something and you're like, I just haven't gotten over the hurdle. And then you look at, you know, Stacy, who, you know, just managed to set up an email list and make a sale. You're like, well, Stacy looks pretty normal. I can do that too. There's nothing about Stacy that says I can't do it. So it's really powerful for your audience.
I mean, when I started doing that for Profitable Online Store, when I started getting students to just come on the podcast, every time I do one of those podcasts, it always leads to a ton of sales.
Yeah.
In fact, if I wasn't doing like 4 podcasts a day right now, I'd probably start doing that again. Maybe in the latter half of the year, I'll start bringing more students on. If any of you guys, by the way, are listening and you're a student of either class and you have something to share, hit me up, send us an email.
Yeah. I mean, I just think that it's if you haven't started using user-generated content as part of your marketing campaign, it should definitely be something that you start looking into for the second half of the year, especially when the holidays come around. Because when the holidays come around, you're going to be fighting most likely with a million other brands that all have a Black Friday sale, that all are doing the same thing as you. But if you can stand out, if you can be the Asian guy in the shirt, right? I mean, seriously, though, like that stopped you and you were like, oh, this is interesting to me. So if you can find your people and think, OK, well, let me get these people on camera and do whatever it takes. You know, one thing that you could do, I mean, this is more if you're in the like info space, is that you could have someone come on like a StreamYard, right? And like, hey, let me interview you and just chop up the interview for testimonial.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's the same thing as having someone on the pod. Like, I actually did, I think, 3 video podcast episodes for the YouTube channel.
Mm-hmm.
And those were a huge hit for sales. Like, I should probably do more of those.
Yeah.
At some point. Yeah. Same principle. Yeah. So I would say, though, that the key to doing this, like, it's all fine and good that we're talking about this, but the key is to have some way to automatically do all these things so that you don't even have to think about it. Because back in the day, like, this is before I wrote my code for my store. Mm-hmm. I was like just part of the autoresponder sequence. I was just asking people for reviews, mm-hmm. but people don't always leave reviews on the first try. So you need a flow so that if they haven't left a review, you just remind them one more time. Mm-hmm. And you can do it like kind of like an abandoned cart sequence in a way, right? If they mm-hmm. haven't left a review yet, you hit them up for another one. And maybe on the final try, you incentivize them if you want to get that review.
The other thing we do, which is part of the flow, is that although this is a manual insertion into the flow every month, but when we pick our winner, we feature them in social media and in an email saying, like, here's our monthly winner. And we take a snapshot of whatever their post was, sort of to validate the fact that we are giving away a prize, right? It's the same social proof. So that's not, I mean, everything's templatized. So all you're doing is plugging in, you know, your monthly winner. But it's a good way to, one, I like any reason to email people that's not a deal or a sale. Like, I like to email people and not talk about the product because I just want to like stay top of mind. And so this is a way to say, hey, remember that review that we told you about 2 months ago or a month ago? Well, Cheryl left a review and here she is with her $50 gift card or whatever it is you want to do to incentivize people.
Here's a better way that'll save you more money.
Okay.
Just get some clearance products from your manufacturer and just give those away. You know, my wife was shopping for makeup and they give you, like, if you buy a certain amount, they give you all these like free makeup.
Yeah.
She really wanted that free makeup, but I'm guessing that all that free makeup was super cheap.
Probably. Yeah. It's by people buy Clinique to get the bag because the bag has become such the bag's not expensive. It's just that it's the Clinique bag and you can only get it if you spend X amount of dollars with Clinique. Yeah, it's smart.
Doing that as opposed to giving a percentage discount, which is what a lot of stores do.
Like that's why I like the gift card. See, for us with curriculum, it's hard to say like we're giving you curriculum because it's like they might already have that since they have purchased from us before.
Right. Yeah.
Which the gift card is nice because they usually spend more than the gift card, right? So if you give them 25 or 50 bucks, maybe they spend 75. And then you can take your costs out of it. So let's just say a $50 gift card, someone spends 75 and our total cost was 20, maybe 15. That's probably very high actually. But depending on what your margins are, that's why the gift card to me is, and sometimes people don't redeem it. That's the other thing is like people forget, which I love. I love people forgetting about gift cards. It's my favorite.
I mean, I've had coupon codes that are right there on the checkout page saying use this coupon code and they don't use it.
Yeah.
It blows my mind. Anyway, UGC, if you're not doing it, not only will it improve your conversion rate, but you can use all this collateral in your email sequences, your text messages, as well as your ads.
Well, I hope you enjoyed that episode. Now, for more information about this episode, go to profitableaudience.com/podcast, where we list all of the tools and resources mentioned in our show notes.
And if you enjoyed listening to this episode, please go to Apple Podcasts and leave us a review. When you write us a review, it not only makes our day, but it helps keep this podcast up in the ranks so other people can use this information, find the show more easily, and get some awesome business advice.
Leaving a review is by far the best way to support the show. And please tell your friends, because the greatest compliment that you can give us is to provide a referral to someone else, either in person or to share it on the web.
And if you're interested in building your own profitable audience, subscribe to our free 6-day mini course where we walk you through the exact steps needed to find your niche, build a website, grab email subscribers, and monetize your content. You can sign up at profitableaudience.com/free.
Thanks for listening.